Welcome in. In this lesson, we're diving deep into a roller bass line warp system in Ableton Live 12, designed for that dusty jungle energy, old-school DNB movement, and modern low-end control. The goal is not just to make a bass sound, but to turn sampled bass material into something playable, flexible, and macro-driven, so you can perform variation instead of drawing 100 tiny edits. We're working in a very specific zone here, the part of the track after the intro, into the first drop, or in a switch-up where the bass needs to breathe, talk back to the drums, and evolve without losing its weight. That's a classic jungle and old-school DNB move. The bass line is not just a sustain, it's a phrase. It answers the break. It mutates a little every few bars. That's the vibe we're after. So first, choose a bass sample with some personality. You want something that already has movement in it. That could be a short resish phrase, a saw-sub hit, a chopped bass loop, or even a single bass stab with some harmonics. Don't overthink the source too much, but do listen for a few key things. You want a strong fundamental in the low end, usable harmonics in the mids, and a tail that can survive warping without turning to mush. If the sample is too clean, that's fine. We can dirty it up later. If it's too busy, trim it down before you build anything around it. Drag the sample into simpler first. That gives you a quick way to audition how the source behaves before you commit to a bigger rack setup. Open simpler and switch it into classic mode. That's a nice choice here, because you want direct sample playback with simple control over warp, start point, and loop behavior. Now turn warp on and start testing modes. If the source is more stab-like or percussive, beats mode is a strong starting point. If the sample has more sustain or a more melodic shape, Complex Pro can work better. As a practical starting point, in Beats mode you can keep transients around the punchy range, and in Complex Pro you can keep formants near neutral or slightly adjusted if the sample needs smooth pitch movement. Tighten the loop region around the most useful part of the sound. Usually you want this short. Sometimes it's an eighth note, sometimes a bar, sometimes less. The exact length depends on the sample, but the idea is to isolate the sweet spot and make it playable. This matters a lot in DNB because warp is not just a utility tool here. It becomes part of the groove. At 170 to 174 BPM, tiny shifts in how the sample locks to the grid can make the bass feel more human, more urgent, or more old-school and wonky. That slight instability is part of the charm. Next, build the bass line as a phrase, not just a held note. A lot of beginners hold one note for a bar and call it a day, but jungle and roller bass usually live through phrasing. Create a MIDI clip and program short notes, rests, and repeated hits. Think in terms of a two-bar loop with a root note, an offbeat reply, and maybe a small pickup or variation in the second bar. Keep the notes fairly short. Let some spaces breathe. That breathing room is important, because the drums need somewhere to land. Use velocity as part of the performance too. You don't want every note hitting the same way. Some notes can lean in harder, some can be lighter. That's how you get the call and response feel that works so well with chopped breaks. Now we start turning this into an instrument. Duplicate or expand the setup into an instrument rack so you can separate the bass into layers. A really solid DNB approach is to have a clean sub layer, a mid layer carrying the sample character, and a dirt layer for extra bite and aggression. For the sub layer, keep it clean, simple, and mono. A sine wave works great, or a filtered low bass sample. This layer should own the weight below roughly 90 to 120 Hz, depending on the source. For the mid layer, use the warped sample and high pass it so it doesn't fight the sub. This layer is where the movement and character live. It can be a little wider, a little more animated, and it can carry the tonal identity of the bass. For the dirt layer, duplicate the mid layer and run it through saturation or overdrive. High pass it more aggressively, so the distortion doesn't clog the bottom end. This layer is where you get edge, crunch, and attitude. A lot of the lesson comes from macro control, so now map the important controls to macros. Think of each macro as having a specific job. Don't make them all do everything. Give each one a clear purpose. One macro can control the perceived warp or sample start behavior. That gives you a way to shift the articulation of the sound, almost like changing which part of the sample is speaking. Another macro can control filter tone, opening and closing the mids for darker or brighter feels. Another can handle drive or saturation, adding grit as you push it. Another can deal with width, but only on the mid layer, never on the sub. And another can control bite, maybe through envelope shape or a small EQ boost in the attack region. The key idea here is that each macro changes a different layer of perception. One affects brightness, one affects harmonic dirt, one affects stereo presence, one affects motion. that makes the rack feel musical and easy to perform. You don't need huge movements. In DNB, a tiny change in filter cutoff or distortion amount can feel massive, because the track is already moving so fast. Now let's get into the warp deep dive, because this is where the rack starts to feel alive. Try changing the loop length while the MIDI phrase repeats. For example, if you have a 1-bar bass loop, shorten it to a 3/4 or half bar region and let the MIDI cycle over it. That can create a slightly off-center old-school bounce that feels really addictive. Also, try different warp modes on different layers. Beats gives you snap and transient energy. Complex Pro gives you body and smoother pitch behavior. Texture can be used sparingly if you want a smeared or grainy quality. You can even nudge the loop start point slightly, so the same note lands with a different harmonic emphasis. That's a great trick when you want the bass to feel like it's answering the break differently every few bars. That's an important thing to remember. In Jungle and Roller DNB, motion doesn't have to come from a bunch of notes. It can come from tiny playback changes. A small shift in sample start, loop region, or warp mode can make the bass feel like it's evolving under the drums. At this point, put a break underneath the bass and listen to the relationship. The bass should support the drum groove, not crush it. Let the kick and snare stay clear. If the low end gets crowded, sidechain the bass slightly to the kick or snare, and check your mono compatibility. You want the sub staying rock solid in mono, while the movement and width live above it. This is also where groove matters. If your MIDI feels too robotic, try a light groove from Ableton's Groove Pool. Something subtle, maybe around 10 to 25%. That can help the phrase lock into the break without sounding stiff. But don't overdo it. This style often feels better when the groove is controlled rather than exaggerated. Now bring your macros into arrangement mode. Automation is where this becomes a real track tool. You can open the filter in the last half bar before the drop. You can increase drive in the second half of a 16-bar phrase. You can reduce width before a breakdown. Then bring it back on the return. You can even shift the sample start or loop feel for a switch-up section, so the bass feels mutated without changing the whole patch. A really nice arrangement idea is to start with a filtered hint of the bass, then let the full sub and mids arrive in the first drop. In the next 8 bars, increase the drive a little and widen the upper layer just enough to create progression. Then for a switch up, change the loop point or swap to a more tension-heavy warp behavior. That kind of structure gives you movement without needing an entirely new bass sound every 8 bars. Once the rack feels good, print it. Resample the output to Audito. This is a classic sampling move and it's very useful here, because it lets you capture the exact character and groove you've built. Record a few bars, consolidate the best section, and if you want, re-import it into Simpler for further chopping. Often the printed version feels even more like a proper jungle bass phrase, because the movement is locked in. Printing also gives you options. You can edit the audio like classic sample bass jungle production, chop it for fills, or use it as a new source for another layer. If something feels exciting, bounce it. Don't wait too long. Capture the moment while the energy is there. A few common mistakes to watch out for. First, don't let the mid layer fight the sub. High pass the character layer properly and keep the bottom clean. Second, don't use too much warp across the whole sound unless you want it smeared on purpose. If it starts to sound washed out, simplify the loop or change the mode. Third, avoid making the bass line too busy. In DNB, groove is often stronger than density. And always check mono. If the bass loses too much when collapsed, simplify the stereo processing. If you want to push this darker and heavier, there are a few extra moves. You can duplicate the mid layer and detune one copy slightly for a subtle reese effect. You can use parallel saturation instead of crushing the whole sound. You can automate a narrow band pass feel for tension before a drop. Or you can make a three-state macro setup. Filtered and restrained, balanced roller, and rude and bright. That's a powerful way to ride energy across an arrangement or even perform live. A good habit here is to think in phrases per bar, not just notes per bar. One macro move every 2 or 4 bars can reshape the bass line just enough to keep it alive. Also, automate less than you think you need. A tiny change before a snare hit can hit harder than a full sweep across the whole section. So here's the big takeaway. We're using Ableton Live 12 to turn a sampled bass into a performable roller instrument. The sub stays clean and mono. The mid layer carries the warp, tone, and motion. The dirt layer adds attitude. And the macros let you shape the bass line like an instrument instead of a static loop. If you can build one bass line that rolls cleanly, reacts to the break, and changes character across the drop without losing power, you've got a proper DNB weapon. That's the kind of patch you can save, reuse, and build whole tracks around. Now go make it breathe, make it move, and make it nasty in just the right way.